Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, June 23rd, 2017. And with me again today, because I clearly don't know when to give up, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am well. And John Martellaro, how are you?
Doing good. Trying to stay warm. It's 44 here.
Welcome to summer in Colorado.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning. Again.
Hi, John. I get the feeling we were just here.
You guys were just here.
How about that?
And the reason you are here again today is because after we finished recording yesterday, on Thursday, we started in on this whole other conversation that I thought was really interesting, and it related to Swift Playgrounds. And I felt that we just needed to really dive into that discussion here on the show today. So what you listeners have been missing out on is since yesterday all the way up till now, I keep telling Kelly and John to shut up and stop talking because you're going to waste all your good content before we're actually recording. So I'm glad we're recording now so I don't have to tell you guys that for 18 and a half minutes.
All right.
So anyhow, the deal is, for those of you that don't know, Swift Playgrounds is the coding environment that Apple created first on the Mac, and then they took it over to the iPad so that you can get real-time feedback on the code you're creating. And it's a learning environment so that you don't have to just jump in and try and figure out syntax and formatting. You can use this to help you create an application and then learn what code you are using so that you can create more and enhance what you're doing. Does that sound like a good overview of Swift Playgrounds?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, coding is intensive and a high learning curve, and it has lots of different little bits and pieces, you know, managing files, launching an editor, getting an IDE going, writing code, understanding the syntax, structuring the language. Swift Playgrounds is a graphic environment that suppresses the learning of the language and focuses, right, Kelly, on getting a program written and it's approachable.
I don't know
and
if
fun.
Suppresses is the right word. I think it's supplements.
Whenever you write code, you're in front of a text editor and there's code in front of you and that's forefront.
I don't know that suppress is the right word, though, because you still need it and it's still there.
Well, it's visually, I should say. Just, visually.
Yeah, suppressed. It's just obfuscated, I would say. Yeah. Like, it's there and you're creating it and you're manipulating it, but you're not doing that by shuffling text around in different orders or adjusting specific values in a text editor. What you're doing is dragging, you know, an item from one side of the screen to another, like an object, or, you know, doing something like that. And I think the thing that a lot of people, I've seen a fair amount of dismissal of Swift Playgrounds as a valid learning tool. And I couldn't disagree more, because what you want to do.
Let's talk about that, because there's a reason why people feel that way, but
I think people feel like that because, John, like you said, you're not sitting down in front of a text editor and typing mystery strings into a text editor. And, you know, that mystery, that secret combination of letters then turns into Angry Birds, you know, or whatever. And I think that there sometimes is a piece of that that is, you know, it's not really a learning curve. Like at that point, you're basically looking at a learning hockey stick, you know, it's straight up and, you know, and it looks insurmountable when you do it that way. And the approach vector of Swift Playgrounds is little things like games. Like if you walk through like the Hour of Code example, I think is what it's called, in Swift Playgrounds, there's a little guy and you have to issue commands in order to get him to go from one side of the screen to the other and avoid obstacles in his way. And that's a pretty straightforward thing. You know, lots of people, by the time they're competently operating an iPad, like lots of people have had some exposure to a game like that or, you know, something. So they're able to see, like, I need him to go forward, forward, left, and then jump in order to get to the thing because there's stuff in the way. And I think that, getting started that way is really useful, because then you get the association of like, this is fun and this is interesting. And then it's like, oh, by the way, did you know that that was actually code that you were writing that entire time? And it feels a lot more approachable. And I feel like it takes away some of the intimidation of what people think of when they think of software developers and computer programmers.
I love the word and you used yesterday with us, approachable.
It's totally approachable to do it this way. And it takes away, because it takes away that part of like, I have to be, you know, I have to be a person who just sits hunched over a laptop for 16 hours a day. And that's a software developer. Like, no, it's not. I volunteer for Appian for Girls.
Commas.
Yeah. And, you know, and tabs and spaces, apparently, you know, is the latest holy war. So,
Like,
I volunteer with AppCamp for Girls, and one of the things that we are doing is exposing the girls in our program to different aspects of the software development cycle, whatever those are. You know, you have to have an idea. You have to try to execute on that idea. You have to troubleshoot issues you find in your idea. We give them code that has a bug in it, and they have to solve that problem. And, you know, and then you have, once it's finished, you know, you have to design art and you have to have a user interface for your idea. And then you have to go tell people about your idea and get the word out so that people know that your idea exists and are able to get the app that you created. And, you know, there are a lot of different pieces to that, and they all involve varying levels of actual coding. You know, people who are doing user interface development aren't spending all their time in front of Xcode. They may spend some time in Xcode, but they're spending a lot of time in other applications too, and thinking about how people can use the app without having like a completely foreign interface that nobody can figure out how to do anything. So part of what I am super excited about with Swift Playgrounds, as a person who works in this program and has spent 5 years helping people do this, is the approachability of it and the stuff that you can do. Like, one of the things in the new version of Swift Playgrounds is robotics. You can build programs for like Lego Mindstorms and stuff, like Lego robotics teams in high school. We get a number of girls every year in our program who have done stuff with a robotics team, or specifically a Lego robotics team. You know, we create Mindstorms and, you know, create these Mindstorm robots and teach them how to do stuff. And one of the things that's awesome about this is that it can help people think a little differently, because when you're doing things with code, you actually, sometimes you have to sort of approach things differently from a thought process perspective. So, you know, like when we talk about, if you sit down and tell somebody how to make a sandwich, which is a standard programming exercise, like, you know, you have to get bread and you have to get peanut butter and you have to get jam and you have to put it all together and then you have a sandwich and then you eat it. Like, no, if you told a computer program that, you would have a disaster on your hands. Mm-hmm. You know, there'd be peanut butter everywhere. And so sticky. And
so,
you can,
so sticky.
So very sticky. And so, like, you have to sort of approach it a little differently. And that's one of the things that you learn in Swift Playgrounds is, like, if you don't tell the little guy when to jump, you know, he's going to fall into the water, and you don't want that to happen. So you have to think about, you know, every single little step along the way, and when to start doing something, when to stop doing something, when to get something out, when to put it away. And I don't think there's anything wrong with teaching everybody that part. Like, that's the thing that we've heard Tim Cook say on more than one occasion is, you know, lots of people should learn coding and things like that. One of the things we discussed yesterday was cars, because I always bring analogies back to cars. And, you know, I know the basics of how my car works. Could I build my own car? No. Could I rebuild an engine? No. But I know how to operate it competently, and I know enough about how it actually operates to be able to communicate effectively with the person who actually does the work on the car.
That's a good thing to bring up, Kelly, because there are people who say, well, if you don't know how to switch out a carburetor or change your oil, you're not qualified to drive a car to the supermarket. You know, that kind of attitude is what
That's sort of the idea that people have here. Like, because I cannot build a carburetor myself without any assistance, I am somehow unqualified to drive my car to Starbucks. Right. And I think that that's really a wrongheaded way to go about it. So I really like the idea of First of all, Swift Playgrounds is free and runs on lots and lots of iPads. I don't remember how far back it goes, but it seems like it goes back pretty far.
I have it running on my iPad Pro 12.9 inch first generation, and I have it running on an iPad Mini 4.
Yeah, and it works.
Oh, it works just fine.
It might be a little slower on the Mini, but it's
I don't know. It seems just fine on the Mini, and like going through those first tutorial classes that you have, you know, like where you take the potato shape guy and make him go get the gems. I mean, I really like that because you're not doing like dragging elements around in a GUI. You start by writing the code, and they say, here's the commands you need to use and here's what they do. Now use these commands and make this specific thing happen. And so you just have two commands and you sit there and type them and you see what happens. It's a great way to start coding, and it teaches you from the beginning, you're going to be typing things, but it presents it in a way that I think is far more approachable.
I want to talk for a second about this highbrow attitude because there's situations where there appear to be two competing ideas and one must be right and one must be wrong. And in this case, it's a superposition of states. Both are right. Swift Playgrounds doesn't teach the fundamentals of programming. It doesn't teach style. It doesn't teach Swift as a language. It doesn't teach, concepts like procedures and other kinds of network access and so on. And there are people who look at Playgrounds with a distorted perspective and don't understand why it exists and what it's doing and why it makes programming approachable for some people. And they think that because it doesn't do the whole job, it doesn't do any of the job, and that's wrong thinking.
And I think a lot of people also underestimate what you can do in Swift Playgrounds, because you can create full programs in Swift Playgrounds. They may be a little bit limited, but that's okay, because once you're done in Playgrounds, you can export that out of Playgrounds and continue on in Apple's full-on in developing environment.
Xcode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just carry on with Swift in the Xcode environment, and you're good.
It's like saying a bicycle with training wheels is no good because you can't do a dirt bike race. You have to understand why it's designed and what it's useful for. And you should be graceful in understanding that this is a great tool that makes programming approachable for kids of many ages. And when they're ready, at some point they will progress because they become enthusiastic and inspired, and they will mature in their education, and they will go on to do greater things.
All right, John, so I'm really going to put you on the spot. Okay, so one of the things that we were discussing yesterday when we weren't recording was a concern that you had about people not understanding how file systems work and data storage. Do you think that's a problem, that you don't need to understand those concepts when you're playing around in Swift Playgrounds?
Well, this is in reference to a story I was telling Jeff and Kelly after the show yesterday about one of my wife's students who was having trouble in his Python class because he didn't understand the concept of saving a file, where the file was located, how to go look for it, how to retrieve it, and how to bring the file back. And we started talking about how the iPad, first we started off with Apple IIs, and you had the only way to operate an Apple II was to understand the basic language at first. And then we got into the Macintosh, where you had a GUI, and a lot of stuff was suppressed from a user standpoint. It is just a trade-off for having this magnificent graphical user interface and the desktop. And then it took another step when we got to the iPad, and everything technical about it was submerged for the sake of consumerism and for the sake of approachability and for the sake of doing the jobs that people were doing, reading, shopping, surfing, email, and all the popular things that you do without having to worry about security, without having to worry about file management. That's good, and it sold a lot of iPads, and we needed that. But what it's done, in many cases, I think, young people who grew up with iPads and iPhones don't have that intuitive sense and feel about the mechanics of how a computer works. And so they don't have this second intuition about how to do things. And they come into the modern programming class where they are confronted with a text editor, right? And they are confronted with syntax and code that they have to write and manipulate and debug. And they're, in many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, quite lost. That's one factor.
But at the same time, like it's also, you know, a certain amount of starting point, because the people who don't have a concept of a file system are not the people complaining that their iPad doesn't have a file system. And I feel like it's the exact same thing with Swift Playgrounds. The people who think there is one way to learn and the only way you're ever going to learn is if you type in a text editor and spend an entire afternoon debugging your code only to find out you missed a semicolon at the end of a line. Those people are the people who fail to see the value in Swift Playgrounds because of their starting point. Because when they started, there was no iPad, there was no Swift, there was no Playground. And so they had to start in front of that giant, glorious, clacky keyboard that sounds like productivity, because all you could literally do was type line. That's how this whole thing started, people. It was started with a keyboard conversation.
Yes, and
I think that, you know, because a lot of people's starting point was something like that. All you get is this little green blinking cursor and you have to use that to make magic. You know, somebody went from that green blinking cursor to Oregon Trail, and, you know, not everyone did. Not everybody could see, you know, the potential in that. And the people who did, like, it sort of feels like it's the same group of people. Like, if your starting point was, I sat down in front of a text editor and started typing things, and now I'm a software developer, like, I can see where maybe Swift Playgrounds wouldn't hold a lot of value for you personally because you didn't start there. But
and because you're already beyond there.
Right. But that also doesn't mean that that's the only way to learn things. And that doesn't mean that's not necessarily the right tool for the job. Like, you know, when we all started, it was stone tablets and chisels. And that doesn't mean typewriters aren't awesome. It just means it's a slightly different tool for a slightly different job. And I think that sometimes things like Swift Playgrounds get dismissed for that, because maybe somebody starts with Swift Playgrounds and, you know, teaches a Sphero how to write a cool pattern in the tracks on the carpet, you know, and like makes a little design. And isn't that neat? Yeah, that's neat. But, you know, because other people don't feel like there was enough blood and sweat and tears and pain and suffering and wailing and rending of garments.
Right.
You know, yeah, without that, clearly you're not a real developer. And I feel like that's crap. And that's part of the reason I'm really excited about Swift Playgrounds. I feel like it will help people think differently about the software that they use. And I think it will help people communicate more effectively about, you know, when I do and don't like applications. You know, somebody who has spent a little time in Swift Playgrounds can go, instead of like, that app sucks or that app is stupid, like they can be more accurate about like, I didn't like the interface, or, you know, it was hard to tell what it was I was supposed to be able to do. And, you know, maybe it will elevate the conversation a little bit. And this is, you know, and it will help people who aren't necessarily super technical now be a little bit more technical, like in not only in criticism, but in like what they really like about applications and in understanding a little bit more about the technology that they have. And I don't think that's ever a bad thing. And I love that this is democratizing it. And, you know, like you can run a Sphero with this playground to like boss a little Mindstorm robot around, like I said before. And, you know, the ability to do that and have something that you type into your iPad manifests itself physically because the Sphero rolls around the way you told it, or the Mindstorm robot does what you told it to do with the iPad. Like, to me, that is just unbelievably exciting.
That's the whole goal. Eventually, people will grow up and mature education-wise, and they'll be using Xcode on a Mac, and they'll be writing apps and making a lot of money in the App Store. They'll get there, or they'll go to work for some corporation or government agency, and they'll be writing corporate Java code that accesses databases behind a web server. They'll get there. This is just the beginning. This is inspiration.
Exactly.
This is the whole idea, to get people's appetite whetted.
And And that's really all it is sort of exposing programming to as many people as possible in as approachable of a way as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I really love about it. Like, you know, because it's where we started, we all have fond memories of an Apple IIe or, you know, an early model Mac that we all sat down in front of at some point and something made us fall in love with that thing. And so we always have fond memories of what that looked like, or, you know, like that first thing that you wrote when you did that yourself.
The childhood inspiration. Yes.
Yeah. And people are going to be sentimental about Swift Playgrounds.
Yes.
You know, once it's been around for a little while, there are going to be people who sit down and go, oh, you know, my mom had this old iPad mini and I put Swift Playgrounds on it and I was able to run my little sphere around. It was the best thing, and it will be exactly the same tone
of
these
days on background mode. I'll interview somebody and they'll say, oh yeah, I finally remember Swift Playground has launched my career as an app developer. Yes.
And these are the people that when you say,
gonna happen.
Yeah. When you ask these people, oh man, do you remember trying to work through bugs in our apps in Code Warrior? And they'll be like, Code Warrior? Is that a right. game?
Yeah. There are going to be, write this down with a Sharpie, kids. There are going to be people who speak in a fond tone of voice about Swift Playgrounds the same way I speak in that exact same tone of voice about HyperCard and about Logo and about BASIC and all of the things that I did when I was a kid that helped turn me into who I am now. Like, there are going to be people who use that same tone of voice and sigh the little sigh and go, remember when you could teach your Lightning McQueen's Pharaoh to go like roll under the couch and hide from your brother? Wasn't that? Remember that was so good.
What the Apple II did for us, Kelly. We were able to sit at a keyboard and we were able to write code interactively in a display. We didn't have to punch paper tape. We didn't have to throw toggle switches. We didn't have to execute binary machine language. Oh, the horrors! You know, we actually got to sit and type interactively.
And back in those days, people made fun of us because they didn't think we were using real computers and real coding.
We didn't understand the binary language of moisture evaporators, so we were stupid.
There you go.
Oh, so that was awesome twice, John. And one of the ways that was awesome was illustrating my point, which is this is an argument that is not new and it is not an argument that's going away. It's been this argument forever. And, you know, because just like you said, when we sat down in front of Apple IIe's, people mocked it, you know, well, like, where's your punch cards? Ha, ha, ha. You know, and people are going to do the same thing with Swift Playgrounds. But I don't think it's a bad thing to, again, find another vector that could hook people and turn them into technological professionals. And well, I think it's amazing. And I can't wait to see how it evolves. I love that you can control physical objects with it now, you know, your little parrot drones and your spherobots and all that stuff. Like, I'm excited to see what people do with that in real life. And I think the other thing to consider is people who really know Swift inside and out, people who sit down and spend a little time with the playgrounds, who are more proficient, are going to be able to do amazing things with Swift Playgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see what it looks like. I'm super pumped about this as a concept.
I can't wait to see what people do with this. You should be in a keynote.
But I do. I would be happy to go on stage and be like, oh my God, yay, Swift Playgrounds. Do you have any idea? I would love nothing more. Yes, I would be absolutely petrified beforehand, but I would still love to be out there and get to do that because I feel like it's really important. And this is one of those things where I feel like I see a lot of potential in this. It isn't there. I don't see it happening yet because it's brand new. And like, we haven't had enough time for people to really settle in and create something amazing with this new version of Swift Playgrounds. It does so much more, but I can't wait until like YouTube videos pop up of crazy Mindstorm robots doing amazing things and Sphero robots doing cool stuff. So, you know, I'm basically putting this out there into the universe and waiting for people to send me links to their awesome Swift Playground projects and like YouTube videos of physical things in action and little gameplay videos of like, I built this game in a Swift Playground and the kind of stuff that you can do with that. Because I am, like I said, I'm super pumped about this because the potential of it is amazing, not just for people who are new to programming, but for people who are good at programming and maybe want to fool around a little bit and take something from zero to execution a lot more quickly. Swift Playgrounds are a really good way to do that. And so I can't wait to see where it ends up as a tool for people who are experienced, as well as introducing new people to the concept of maybe you should be a developer.
All right. Amen. And on that fun note, I'm going to have to cut us off because we're over. I know it's a big surprise. So, and actually, people, if you've been playing around with Swift Playgrounds and you've done some interesting stuff, I would love to hear about it. And of course, Kelly would too. So let me know. You can shoot messages to me on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. I look all those places to see what you have to say. And hey, we are out of time. So Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me back to Cheerlead Playgrounds.
And it was a fun discussion. John, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me back to hear from Kelly again. And bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
Oh, you too. Listeners, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining me all week long. We'll see everyone again on Monday.